Good morning. Thank you all for coming to this session. Really appreciate it. I'm going to start with the obligatory disclosure and state that, unlike Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, I have no financial relationships to disclose. At least as important is acknowledging my collaborators in this effort, Paul Biedritsky and Angie Hagee from the City of Milwaukee Health Department, Kathleen Murphy from the Milwaukee Public Schools, Gary Maycorn from the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, and a number of other folks who are too many to list here, but that at least two of which I will mention right now, which would be Kathy Edwards and Robert Harris, who's actually in the back room there, from the Wisconsin State Division of Public Health. So as in most any effort, this couldn't have been done by just one person. So as many of you, I'm sure, know, immunization is one of the most effective and cost-effective strategies for preventing disease. In fact, I've seen some studies suggesting it's the most cost-effective preventive intervention available. Furthermore, immunization requirements for school and child care attendants are proven to improve immunization completion rates. In Wisconsin, those requirements are detailed in state statute, and also in that same state statute is detailed the responsibilities for various entities in assuring that these requirements are met, and those entities include school districts, health departments, and district attorneys in the area. Also, by way of background, I just want to mention, for those of you not familiar with Milwaukee, we're about the 17th largest city in the nation. We've got roughly 600,000 population altogether. Milwaukee Public School System is a very large school district with about 90,000 students, and in Milwaukee in general, and in MPS in particular, there's a large problem with poverty and child poverty. And in fact, in Milwaukee Public Schools, about one in three students, not quite, but essentially one in three students qualify for federal funding for free or reduced lunch. So just to give you an idea of the demographics in Milwaukee. So about 3 years ago, when we were looking at the immunization completion rates in Milwaukee compared to the rest of the state, and specifically in Milwaukee Public Schools compared to the rest of the state, we could see that we were way, way behind. In meets minimum means that percent of students that actually meet the precise requirements in statute for immunizations for their age. In compliance includes those students, and it also includes students who are in process, that is to say they're behind, but they've just recently gotten some shots and they can't get any more yet, and they have to wait a little bit for the minimum intervals between shots. It also, in compliance, also includes those who have signed waivers. So in Wisconsin, you can have an exemption from the requirements either because of a medical exemption, religious exemption, or a personal conviction waiver. So the in compliance figures includes all of that. But you can see, you know, that less than half of the kids in Milwaukee Public Schools actually met the minimum, and less than two-thirds were in compliance, compared to well over 90% for the rest of the state. Now, in Milwaukee, as in other areas, there are multiple barriers to compliance with immunization requirements. We do have a highly mobile population, as I mentioned, also a high level of poverty. These children are often not just a little behind, but they're behind by a number of shots and in a number of different shot series. So it increases the difficulty in getting them back up to date. There's limited access to or availability of quality health care. The immunization schedule, not just in Milwaukee, but across the country, of course, is increasingly complex, and new vaccines getting introduced all the time, which reduces compliance with requirements. There is some misinformation around about vaccine efficacy, as well as about the school entry requirements, what they are and what they aren't. In Wisconsin, the statutory timeline for compliance activity is very aggressive, which makes it especially hard for a large school district to keep up. Compared to a smaller and more nimble district. And then, of course, as always, there's competing priorities among responsible agencies and limited resources. So we're trying to put the pieces of this compliance puzzle together, and what we did was bring together the Milwaukee Immunization Task Force, which consisted of key stakeholders who had responsibility defined in statute for compliance. And we brought these stakeholders together to try to identify strategies to increase compliance, and there are the stakeholders listed there. And in addition to the ones I mentioned at the beginning, also the Office of the Mayor. The mayor is particularly sensitive to press that shows Milwaukee in a poor light, and when figures like the ones I showed you get into the newspaper, it doesn't make the mayor happy. So this task force basically involved each partner agency actively in developing interventions and implementing those interventions and evaluating evidence-based best practices. And furthermore, each agency really ended up by volunteering and by some pressure from the mayor's office, making immunizations a priority despite their limited resources. So it was clear, you know, we had our marching orders and we really needed to address this issue. So even though we came to the table with limited resources, working together, we were able to leverage those resources into action. So what were some of the things that we did in terms of our interventions? Well, at the start, we first just tried to assess all the factors that were potentially associated with variations in compliance, not only between the Milwaukee Public School District and other school districts in the state, but between variations in compliance between various schools within the Milwaukee Public School District. Some schools actually were doing fairly well, and some schools were doing miserably. Furthermore, we developed a site visit team that was consisted of a public health nurse and one of the assistant district attorneys from the county. And this team went to schools with both good and with poor compliance rates and tried to analyze what were some of the factors, looking at the makeup of the school, for example, socioeconomic or demographic, racial, geographic makeup of the school, looking at a number of factors, and really found that those really didn't seem to be predictive of levels of compliance. The main thing that seemed to predict levels of compliance at different schools was whether the principal thought it was important. And so another thing that seemed to help was having a nurse in the school, but really it was whether the principal and the office staff put a priority on immunizations or not. So so then this nurse and DA team went back to these schools and really tried to work with the principals as well as the teachers and the office staff to increase their awareness of and their thinking about the importance of school requirements for immunizations. So that was one big intervention. Secondly, we worked with parents and with systems to try to get more immunizations into kids. We tried to increase parental awareness of immunization requirements. We did some significant joint social marketing between the Milwaukee Health Department and the Milwaukee Public School System. Outreach by the schools, very aggressive outreach. This is an example of one of the signs that we had on the sides of county buses in Milwaukee. We had billboards and radio spots and a lot of different outreach. And then we also put together a number of immunization clinics in schools. So in addition to our normal health department clinics, we sent nurses, teams of nurses, to schools, particularly to schools that had the lowest immunization completion rates, as well as those that weren't quite so low, but that were large, so they had large numbers of kids that were behind in shots, and worked on site to deliver vaccine. The third main area of interventions had to do with data reconciliation. It turned out that the school system had a few years earlier implemented a new electronic database, which takes care of a lot of different school records, attendance and grades and all sorts of things. So it's not really designed to keep track of medical information. But in this electronic database was also the shot records for students. And it turned out that that database was woefully incomplete. And through some very time-intensive work from some dedicated individuals, we reconciled that data with our Wisconsin Immunization Registry, which is designed to manage immunization records, as well as with parents' own paper records of their kids' shot records. And this really helped us to do a better job of having an accurate baseline of what we really were doing with our shot percentages, but also helped us identify which kids were really out of compliance and which ones were just out of compliance on paper but were actually up to date. And then finally, we worked with the Milwaukee Public School System to help them actually get into compliance with the state-mandated timeline. So this aggressive timeline that they were really months behind in the past, they've been able to get up to date on. So when it comes time for checking to see how many kids are out of compliance, that gets done in September now instead of waiting until February. When it comes time to excluding kids who are out of compliance, that gets done now in October, which is a requirement of the state statute, instead of waiting till March or April or not happening at all. So this was another really important intervention. So let me show you how things have shaped up then over the last 3 years. This is in compliance figures. Again, these are include kids who meet the minimum and also kids who are in process. They don't meet the minimum yet, but they're working on it. And it also includes kids who have signed waivers. And you can see that Milwaukee Public Schools in compliance percentages have gone up from 64% to 83% over the last 3 years. Still a ways to go, but we're pretty happy with that. Likewise, with the number of kids who actually do meet the minimum requirements, this has gone up from 45% to almost 70%. Still, you know, well under what the rest of the state is, and we're not at all satisfied with this, but we're at least happy with the progress. So, in terms of next steps, we do have our work cut out for us. We've got farther to go to get where we want to in these numbers, and some of the challenges that are going to affect that include these newly required vaccines. The state just implemented a requirement for a second dose of varicella, as well as for a dose of Tdap. So this is going to drop everyone's compliance, but especially going to affect the Milwaukee school system. We're going to try to expand our compliance activities beyond just Milwaukee Public Schools to get to child care facilities, private and charter and voucher schools. And we're going to try to engage a broader group of stakeholders that goes beyond just those that are required by statute, but that have some effect on immunization rates, including the insurers, the medical providers, and other community groups. We've got an especially exciting partnership forming with the Boys and Girls Clubs in Milwaukee. And obviously, we're going to try to identify additional sources of funding to support these expanded immunization activities. And then one additional thing that we're excited about, it's not there's no statutory requirement in Wisconsin yet, unlike New Jersey, for influenza vaccine for a school entry. But despite that, we take the CDC's recommendation seriously, and so we're going to try to identify strategies for increasing influenza vaccination in schools as well. So that's the program in a nutshell. Thank you very much, and I guess we'll have questions at the end.
At the end.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I did forget to mention, we could all just make sure your cell phones are silenced, and we will do questions at the end for everyone. Next, we'll be hearing from Erica Chapman.